In the world of the paranormal, unexplained sightings, from UFOs and Bigfoot to floating orbs, capture our collective imagination. But often, the real mystery lies in what we can't see. Today, we're sharing stories about sound anomalies. Welcome to Shadowland, everybody.
Welcome.
This is a podcast that shines a spotlight on stories of the supernatural, mysterious, eerie, and unexplained. Stuff like praying mantis humanoids.
Calls from beyond.
Doppelgangers.
Liminal spaces.
Interdimensional portals.
Interdimensional travelers.
Bottomless pits.
Unknown frequencies.
Alien implants.
The far reaches of space and time.
All that stuff.
All that stuff and more.
Lots more. I'm Christina Callery.
And I'm Seth Jablum.
And today we're sharing stories about...
sound anomalies.
Sound anomalies. Unexplained, mysterious sounds. Of all varieties.
Yes. A.K.A. calls from beyond.
Yes. Yes.
Well, cool. I think this is a really interesting subject. I'm glad we're doing it. You know, we've touched on a lot of like audio and sounds and you know, things that have been picked up and sort of other stories that have like sort of, I don't know, stuck out to me as very interesting, but never really focused in on it, on like on phenomena that's sort of centered around sound in and of itself.
Right. Yeah, I'm really excited about this because, like, you know, a lot of times you think about paranormal evidence or accounts and you think about the visual.
Right. Like, did you see a ghost? Not did you hear a ghost, right?
Right. I mean, there are EVPs and everything, but it feels like, you know, always the emphasis is on the visual, but there's an entire, you know, other realm to be explored, and sometimes it's even more fascinating and disturbing even.
Yeah, totally. I mean when we did the Sasquatch, the disappearances that sort of connected with around Bigfoot sightings and stuff like that, but that camp, the calls of the Bigfoot sort of from that camp or whatever they were, the calls of whatever they were in the forest. I mean, to me that was like the most eerie part of the whole thing. So, and there's not a lot of those recordings, but there are some. So, yeah. Well, do you want to get into it then? Or?
Yeah, let's get into it. You want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Okay.
So, I mean, this one's a little different than literally everything we were just talking about, but just this idea of like, I don't know, the idea of like calls from beyond, the idea of like reaching out into sort of space and time and seeing if anybody else is out there is something that very much intrigues me. And so, you know, when it comes to the search for intelligent life in the universe, we can be certain that one civilization has reached out across the stars, our own. So this first story is about the Golden Record. So... records, actually, to be more precise.
There's more than one.
Yes. In 1977, two identical interstellar probes were launched into the great beyond. They were Voyager 1 and Voyager 2. They were launched that year to take advantage of an alignment with the outer giants Jupiter and Saturn, as well as Uranus and Neptune, you know, because they would be sort of traveling towards them. And it was these probes were sent out to collect data and send back to Earth, right, about our solar system and about whatever they could sort of see beyond that. Now, aboard these two probes are two identical golden phonograph records, right? So they made one for each probe, basically. That's why there's two of them.
Do you know, like, golden, like, what is it actually, is there gold involved, or is it, like, what's the material they're made of?
It's actually constructed of gold-plated copper, and it's 12 inches in diameter. It's cover is aluminum or aluminium, if you're from the UK, and it's electroplated. On top of it is a ultra-pure sample of isotope uranium-238. And so this element, uranium-238, has a half-life of 4.4 billion years. So the idea behind putting that material on here was that it can make it possible for whoever or whatever finds this record can use the ratio of remaining uranium to tell how old it is, right? So if in 3 billion years an alien life picks up this record, it'll be able to tell when it was sent, essentially, and who.
So there's a way to track the timing and everything based on the materials they used.
Exactly.
And the degrading.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And yeah, and I mean, I think other than that, I'm not sure exactly why they specifically used gold-plated copper. You know,
I mean, it's pretty sweet.
Like it's pretty sweet. I mean, it looks cool. Yeah. And I mean, I think as a like, I mean, I know, you know, gold is soft, but as, you know, as a industrial metal, right? Like it's neutral, right? It's not like platinum, but it's, you know, they can make a record with it, right? Like you can make fine stuff with it. So maybe that had something to do with it, but I don't know. I mean, it's just cool. It's a record, but I guess technically it's really copper and then gold plated. So I imagine that was all in the interest of like making it long lasting. Right. So on the record itself contains images, sounds, and music as a representation of the human race and life on planet Earth. So the cover itself actually, the one that's made out of aluminum, actually contains diagrams for the construction of a record player written in this diagrammatic language that's kind of an attempt at a universal language. It's pretty cool looking, actually, and it's really quite beautiful. But there's like diagrams of, you know, of the phonographic needle, and there's proportions of light and things like that on it, and like pulsars.
So it's kind of like an IKEA instruction manual.
Yes, it's an IKEA instruction manual meant for an alien race, but it's meant to like orient scale and everything. Right, so they're not assuming that this thing would understand, whatever picks it up would understand scale in the same way do. So it tries to set a baseline of measurements, right, and frequencies and all this other stuff, so that whatever finds it will have some orientation of how to reconstruct this thing to play it back. Really, I mean, if this is some like, you know, massively advanced civilization, they probably just like look at it and know what's on there or something, but it's still pretty cool. But on this record, you know, are a bunch of images. I haven't seen all of them. I've only seen a few of them, but they're actually not that great. They're like, I mean, they're meant to sort of depict very specific things, sensory and about the human race and how we eat and all this stuff. But they're like, the photos themselves don't look that like beautiful, like compared to the other things that are on, right? The music, the look of the record itself. They're very like documentary looking.
Stock art?
Yeah, but like bad 70s stock art. Okay. Right? Like it's like not, it's just not beautiful. It just looks like something you'd find in a textbook or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So I was sort of shocked by the sort of ugliness of some of the images. There's like ones of us eating food and it looks gross. It looks like we're like these like kind of monstrous, you know.
Just a way to invite them to just invade us.
I know, it's so weird. I don't know why, I mean, they did this thing relatively quickly when you really think about it, right? Like they put it together, you know. From one point of view, it took them like a year or two, I think, to decide on everything that went on there. But that's not really that long. I feel like if they did that now, there'd be like, you know, such an uproar about every single item. It wouldn't be able to get it off the ground. But
right, yeah.
So I think that the people involved just kind of like pulled the trigger on it. But I think it was more about music and sound than anything, right? Ergo, the fact that it's a record. Okay, so... there are also greetings recorded on there of 55 ancient and modern languages, including Carl Sagan's six-year-old son, Nick, who offers a greeting from the children of Earth. So I'm going to go ahead and play that for you now.
Mm-hmm. Hello from the children of planet Earth.
It's simple, but pretty sweet, right? I mean, it's just something, yeah. I don't know, really stirring about that. This literal child literally reaching out across the stars to introduce mm-hmm. the children of planet Earth. It's very beautiful. And, mm-hmm. You know, Carl Sagan actually, you know, he chaired the committee that selected all the music and all this stuff. And so he actually, you know, had his son record that. So I don't know. I thought that was really cool. Okay. So the music is also quite good. It was also selected by a committee chaired by Carl Sagan. And the selection process, as I said before, took almost a year. And I'm sure included much debate, but they were able to make some selections. So I'm not going to go through the whole list, but just some artists of note. There's Bach, Beethoven, Mozart, and Stravinsky are on there. Not really that surprisingly. Blind Willie Johnson made the cut. Chuck Berry is on there. And the inclusion of Chuck Berry's Johnny B. Goode was quite controversial, with some claiming that rock music was adolescent, to which Carl Sagan replied, "There are a lot of adolescents on the planet." So I thought that was very poignant. Mm.
Right? He's saying, so aliens might want to rock
us. Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. But also just the idea that he was interested in representing the whole of Earth, right? From the high to the low, yeah. From, you know, the adolescent to the mature. You know, I thought that was an interesting thought. But they clearly selected mostly music they thought was beautiful. There were some, I think the Beatles actually did not make the cut. There was some controversy about that. I think they even called John Lennon at first to try to get some rights to some of the Beatles music, because come on, you probably put the Beatles on there, but the record company was like, no.
But they were like, oh no, they're gonna like take this and get all
the rights
on
some other planet. They're gonna make copies and there's gonna be Napster on some other planet and they're gonna download it and we're all gonna, you know, have to buy smaller yachts or something. You know, it's just, anyways, they wouldn't let it because of, I'm like, that is the fucking, that's like gut-wrenchingly like greedy.
Dumb.
You know, like dumb, just dumb. Anyways, so where was I here? Oh, so yeah, in addition to music, the record also includes whale songs from humpback whales, specifically from the 1970 album by Roger Payne, Songs of the Humpback Whale. And the contents were, you know, like I said, they were selected by a committee. Here's a quote from Carl Sagan, said of the record that the spacecraft will be encountered and the record play only if there is an advanced spacefaring civilizations in interstellar space. But this launching of this bottle into the cosmic ocean says something very hopeful about life on this planet. I thought that was very sweet too, right? Just this idea that like it was partly for, you know, the civilization that may pick this record up, but it's really also like, I don't know, it's a moment for human beings to sort of say, hello, we're here, you know, welcome.
Yeah, it's like a planetary patriotism. You know?
Or just something hopeful about human life, that, you know, that desire to make contact, I think. So, well, we already talked about the construction of the record itself. Voyager 1 probe is currently the farthest human-made object from Earth. So it's actually gone as far as anything that we've sent out has gone.
So outside of our solar system for sure at this point, right?
Yes and no. So in 1977, it passed the orbit. It was launched in 77, passed the orbit of Pluto in 1990, and it left the solar system in the sense of passing the termination shock in 2004. And so now it's, and I think that's like some, you know, like where do you draw the line on the, I don't know exactly what a termination shock is, by the way, but I think it has to do with, like, what do we define as the border of space? Of our solar system, right? And so I think that's one definition of it. So it's now in the Kuiper Belt, and in about 40,000 years, it and Voyager 2 will come about 1.8 light years of two separate stars. Voyager 1 having approached star Galice 445, which is in the constellation of Camelopardalis. And Voyager 2 will have approached star Ross 248 in the constellation of Andromeda.
So in 40,000 years. Away.
Yeah, yeah. In 40,000 years from now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean, that is just, doesn't that make you feel a little bit like small and lonely?
I mean, yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, yes, in the sense of like the vastness of space.
Mm-hmm.
But
the distance.
And the distance of it all. But the distance, I think, is relative. You know, I mean, I think the distance seems big because of the way we're measuring it,
mm-hmm.
right? Don't they say that there's
the speed
like
of light.
Huh?
The speed of light.
The speed of light, but also in terms of like miles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. They say that there's the similar distance between electrons, right, as between stars or something crazy like that. Like when you get down, when you change scale down or up, they're similar distances, but like those distances can be inside your own body. Those distances of things mm-hmm. apart can be inside your own body.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So like,
or the notion of quantum physics where the spooky action at a distance where particles divided by vast, you know, amounts of
quantum
space.
Entanglement, right? Yes, that you can have
quantum entanglement. Yeah,
like particles on other sides.
Something of the solar system, one affects the other.
The universe, even that are connected. So I think there's ways to that we are connected. That, you know, shortcut or aren't even applicable in terms of that space that we're measuring.
Right, especially if you're an alien, you've got a spacecraft that can like. Use all this technology that we don't yet understand or
whether that's,
you know, navigate wormholes or different dimensions.
Right.
So.
Right. Like, you know, the example, the metaphor is always given of like folding the paper in half, right? So if space is a plane, that it might be possible to, you know, you fold the paper in half and the two far points of space can be connected instantaneously, mm-hmm. right? And so...
Mm-hmm.
From a physics point of view, there's like some theoretical possibilities there, right? And so I think, you know, we know so little about the universe that, you know, it's probably a lot weirder and more amazing than we can imagine in a lot of those ways. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, it does, but I don't know. I feel like the universe is teeming with life and light and consciousness. And so I don't feel alone in that sense. You know,
maybe it's just me.
Okay, yeah, maybe it's just
it makes me want to listen to The Cure and feel sort of like this sense of deep longing that'll never be fulfilled, and I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get that too. I mean, because there is a vastness to it all, right? And like, if you put mm-hmm. us in the context of, you know, even within our own galaxy, we're fairly insignificant, almost not even significant enough to be counted as insignificant, right? In terms of size, let's say. But I just think there's something so poignant to me about the fact that we know a quote alien race, us, has reached out across the stars. That means that
mm-hmm.
if we truly are, which is absurd thought, if we truly are the only civilization in the universe, ridiculous. But let's say that's true. That means 100% of the civilizations in the universe are reaching out, trying to find other ones, right? So it just makes me think that this idea of communicating, it's like we have the proof right here on Earth that the universe is sort of reaching out to itself. And I think that's very beautiful.
That is beautiful.
So that's the golden record.
I love this. And I love this as like a way to kick off this episode too. I mean, it's kind of like what we're, you know, we're doing our part to kind of...
To reach out, yeah.
To reach out, you know, and it would be mysterious and unexplained to someone else encountering the golden record.
Yeah. And the golden record, by the way, you can buy the actual, I have a box set of the golden record.
Is it gold?
Well, it's like not real gold, but it's like gold in, like, and like, I think it depends on like the edition you get, but so you can listen to it. It's quite good. I listen to it sometimes. Whale songs and all. Okay.
Very cool.
Maybe I'll do my other story and then we'll do yours. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds great.
So, you know, that story I just told is sort of a lead into this one, which is the wow signal. So now that I know that there are civilizations out there reaching out and searching for contact, namely us, that sheds, I think, to me, a little different light about the wow signal and the probability and possibility of it being truly an attempt at contact from beyond. So the year was 1977, the same year that Voyager was sent out. Scientists, which I don't know, is that coincidence? Is that synchronicity? I don't know what's going on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, really?
It's interesting that this happened the very same year. Scientists were searching the cosmos with Ohio State University's Big Ear radio telescope, which was used for the SETI program. So I imagine most of our listeners do know what SETI is, but for those who don't know, SETI stands for the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. So on August 15th at 11:16 p.m., a signal was recorded. The signal appeared to come from the direction of the constellation Sagittarius and bore the expected hallmarks of extraterrestrial origin. So a few days later, astronomer Jerry R. Amen, while reviewing the recorded data, discovered the anomaly. And he was so struck about what he saw that he actually circled the printout where this anomaly had been recorded, a record of the signal's intensity, which read 6EQUJ5. And then next to it in the margin, he wrote the comment, "Wow!" exclamation mark, which ultimately led to the event being called by this name. So the signal lasted for 72 seconds, its intensity increasing for 36 seconds, then just decreasing for 36 more as the telescope moved toward and away from the signal's point of origin as the Earth rotated, right? So basically we tuned into this signal, right? So the increase was us, the telescope tracking towards the signal, and then the decrease was us tracking away from the signal, meaning that it was simply there, right? And we sort of passed by it. The entire it was detected as Big Ear moved by it, but it has not been detected since, despite many subsequent attempts by Amen and others. Several hypotheses have been made about the sound, about the emission, including natural causes and human-made sources, but none of them have explained it, right?
Mm.
So okay. The string of letters and numbers itself, this is all caps, 6EQUJ5, it's commonly misinterpreted this as a message. It's not a message, right? This is not in the sense that those those letters and numbers have no other significance than the intensity variation over time, right? So if you look at the printout, the like readout itself, it's a lot of like ones and twos. I don't know why it's recorded that way, right? But it's like it's recording something like space noise, right? Like just white noise, and it's low level of intensity, right? They're scanning the sky, and it's like 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, one, two, like that when you look at the paper. And then when it hits this part, it goes 6Q5D, right? It's this cluster of intensity. So meaning...
Is it something that seems more patterned and like less chaotic than the usual? Is that what makes it so special?
I don't think so. But I'm certainly not an astronomer or an expert on signals. But from what I read, it's much more about the signal intensity. So if you imagine it visually, right? Imagine the darkness of space. And in a certain spot, there's a bright light. That's kind of how I understand this, right? In the sort of general hum, low, quiet, near silent hum of space, they passed over a point where there was something loud, where there was something intense, sort of piercing the silence of space, and an intensity that they did not find anywhere else. So there's that, right? So it's not even like a pattern of this or that per se. It's more that like, hey, this is an anomaly of vibration of sound. So something's going on. They listen into black holes. They listen into planets. They listen into nebulae, right? They're listening everywhere. Sun's exploding, right? But they're not hearing this. So whatever they heard was big. So that's interesting in and of itself. Certainly, however you would like to define it, a call from beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. And some people believe that that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That it's an attempt at communication.
Yeah. Yeah. So just a few notes on John Krause and the Big Ear. The Big Ear is large, at least at one point, was one of the largest radio telescopes. It's located at OSU's Perkins Observatory near Columbus, Ohio. It is about the size of 3 football fields. And it's considered one of the most famous and historically significant radio telescopes in the field of radio astronomy, because it picked up this sound. And it's primarily used for conducting these radio astronomy observations, in particular SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. The telescope itself was built by John D. Krause and his students starting in 1956, and it was completed in 1961. And was turned on the first time in 63. So not really that long of a time before they picked something up, right? Maybe it was like beginner's luck or something, but they haven't picked it up since, even though I'm not sure if SETI's still actually using the radio telescope or not. I'm not actually sure what SETI is up to in general, right? Ever since the days of... Remember when we used to have the screensavers where you could loan your computing power to SETI to process signals, perhaps even from the Big Ear? Do you remember that?
No,
do you remember
what I'm talking about? No, I never did that.
Really? There was like a whole period of time where this is like early internet days, before the internet was like a super scary place. You could install a screensaver on your computer. And when your computer went into screensaver mode, it would link up in the internet and to the internet to the SETI servers, and they would send signals that needed to be processed, that needed computing power. So it basically turned all these desktop computer into processing nodes for a single computer. So it became this like massive distributed process computer that used all these people's like, computers and offices and shit. Isn't that cool?
That is. Yeah.
And I don't think that would ever happen.
And you did it.
But yeah, yeah. I had it on the computer at our job that we shared. I actually think I had it there. Again, it's probably like, you know, firewalls and stuff nowadays will probably prevent that from happening. But yeah, for a time. Let's see. Maybe one last... let's see. One last thing about Krauss. Krauss is a member of the National Academy of Engineering, won numerous awards, including the Solvent Medal from Ohio State in 1970, and the IEEE Edison Medal in 1985 for a sustained career as an innovator, discoverer, and educator in the fields of antennas and radio astronomy. So he actually like designed a lot of other types of antennae and things like that, in addition to Big Ear. So, but this was obviously like kind of one of his crowning achievements because of what it was able to pick up. So. Yeah, so that's John Krauss and the Big Ear and the WOW signal.
I love that. So what do you think? Do you think it's aliens?
I don't know. I think that's a good question. I honestly didn't really even think about it. I'm just so sort of taken with the whole thing. I don't think they're like fire hosing, you know, radio signals around the universe. I think there might be something more.
It could be possibly an inadvertent.
Yeah,
communication.
I think we're picking up on
unintentional.
Something. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, remember there was the whole thing recent years about the like mega structure that they think was around a star or something like that. I think there's stuff out there that can create light, that can create sound that we don't really understand, and that, you know, certainly is part of the natural world in the way that. Humanity is part of the natural world, but that there's some I believe that it is a sign of intelligent life. Yeah, I do. But in what way I couldn't say, but I think it is. It certainly shows us we still know so little.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, if just even the word wow ascribed by someone who all day every day is recording these things and exposed to, you know, different kinds of, you know, data, to me that says something too.
Yeah, definitely. So
I think it's aliens.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens. Okay. Cool. Right. So that's what I got.
Cool. Yeah, I love it. This is a great way to kick things off. So is it cool if I share my stories?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. So this first one also takes place in the skies, although closer to Earth. And this is the phenomenon of what tends to be called usually sky trumpets or sky quakes. Right. But I love sky trumpets.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard that term before.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you do just like a quick search on any social media or YouTube or whatever, you're going to come across videos where people have uploaded just usually it's like panning the sky of whatever city they live in. And these reports come from all over the world, which I'll get into. And you can just hear, you know, a variety of sounds that just seem to be emanating from the atmosphere somewhere out there. It's like a big sound. This is not like a small localized one. And, you know, they were first reported in March of 2008, although, you know, some of these claims, you know, they could allegedly go back to antiquity. You know, people have reported sounds and sights in the skies from very early on in human civilization. So this is not necessarily anything new, but just the prevalence of it and our ability to capture it 2008 seems to be the year that really they started to be way more prevalent.
I see. Okay.
So these mysterious sounds have been heard around the world. So California, Texas, Wisconsin, Brazil, Australia, Germany, Russia, Canada, the UK, China, New Zealand, Eastern Europe, and the list goes on and on. There are so many places all over the world that have had evidence recorded and uploaded that you can go listen to today of people describing this very similar phenomena. And often it's described as, you know, sky trumpets, a great trumpet blare, which to me is like the most interesting. Or sometimes people say it sounds like a loud engine, like a very roaring, loud, expansive jet engine, or a deep groaning or humming sound, or even a metallic grating sound, like a train braking. And we'll play some clips here. So I sent you some links here.
Yes.
But there's definitely, when you hear it, an eerie and in some cases otherworldly quality to it. And no one actually knows what causes the phenomena. So there's not a clear answer even to today. But Seth, I don't know, do you want to just play, like scroll through a few of the links that I sent you and play a few clips?
Yeah, that sounds good. Starting with like the first one you sent me there.
Sure. Yeah, you can hear the guy's dog, but yeah, it's interesting. So definitely like a buzzing kind of vibrating sound, right?
Yeah. Now it's playing at half speed. Did you want me to play that as well or?
No, just play it. Just go through the other ones. Let's just get like a sampler played of all the different
It's like
sky trumpets.
It's a very loud sound. I mean, I'm playing it loudly, but it's also, okay, whoops, that's an ad. YouTube. Okay, here we go.
So here you hear almost like a horn-like sound.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like almost like a musical instrument or something. Faded out, but it was pretty loud there.
Yeah.
Okay, let me play this.
So we can just like keep going through some of the other ones.
Okay. Oh, that one's video is unavailable. Okay, so that last one didn't come up. Do you want me to play that very last one that you sent there as well? Oh no, that's for the
no,
the next one.
Yeah,
okay.
No.
Yeah, that one just says oh wait, here we go. Hold on.
Yeah. There's like a few Well, this one's more of that metallic grating sound people describe, more high-pitched.
And the caption says, "We do not live near a train station."
Right.
Strange, mod sound. Seems like it's coming from the sky, anyway.
Sounds like a Scottish person.
Yeah. I mean, it's again really loud. It's like not a faint. It's not like, oh, is that a sky trumpet? It's like, you know, it's really loud stuff.
Yeah, it's not something where you're like, oh, the next block over, they're doing some construction
it's like
feeling
over.
From this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we can post, you know, different links, but it's certainly like, when you search, there are so many out there, so many examples, to the point where if this is a hoax, it's a really boring one because
right
it's been done over and over and over again from all over the world. So what's going on? You know, the theories are pretty divergent, and Some of the more scientific explanations include tectonic plates grinding. So these are the pieces of the Earth's crust and the upper mantle, about 62 miles thick. And so as they move over each other, they can make sounds. Another explanation is that it's possibly something to do with atmospheric pressure, which to me feels like bullshit, like listening to this stuff. So
swamp gas, is there swamp gas an option? Or?
Swamp gas, yeah, swamp gas, you know, hey. Other prosaic theories include building, you know, building sites, construction, you know, like we said, the trains breaking. But the noises are so loud and they're so pervasive throughout the sky, they're not localized sounding. So it's really hard to kind of explain it away with something like a local construction project.
Right, right.
This is, you know, an immense sound that it just takes over an area. So, of course, other people think it could be a supernatural phenomenon and maybe even biblical, like angelic trumpets prophesied in the book of Revelation that would hail the coming of the apocalypse and the end of days with Christ's return. So, you know, there's a mention of seven trumpets sounding in the sky one by one that would signal different apocalyptic events. Of course, these events haven't happened. So, you know, there's that. Some people speculate that it's the sound of secret weapons developed by the U.S. government, not only for defense purposes, but even to affect the weather and climate, so that this could be, you know, what's going on. But then they would have to be in all of these other areas of the world. Not to say that they couldn't be, but again, it seems to fall short. And then other people think the sounds come from UFOs or aliens or some kind of alien communication or technology that's radiating from the skies.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I can't remember if you mentioned this or not, but like, I mean, the one thing that jumps out to me is like, is this like just like some horrible light, sound pollution? Like, you know, like we have the great, you know, garbage patch or whatever in the Pacific. Is it just like all the shitty sounds of human beings like collecting up in the sky and like playing back to us or something?
I'd want to know the mechanism for that though, because I mean, there's always like sound pollution. And the thing is that this is something that is loud enough and in a lot of cases frightening or startling enough for people to start recording it. And so it's something that's different from what they usually are encountering in their day-to-day life. You know, I mean, to me, it's like white noise. A lot of the atmospheric stuff or the sound pollution we've got, it's like a white noise thing. You don't even, after a while, you don't even realize it's there.
Right.
So whatever this is stands out and is, and it has a starting point and an end point. You know, it doesn't go on and on and on. So there's that. So something's happening. What is it?
Yeah. I mean, there is definitely an ominous sound to it, too. It's a creepy sound.
Yeah.
And
it's not comfortable. It feels it's not out of the pleasant. Ordinary,
just from what you played here. Well, then, okay, so what do you think? What do you think it is?
Dude, I don't know.
Aliens?
I mean, maybe aliens. Maybe it's another, like a reverse, I don't know, another wow signal.
But it's like coming from the hollow earth, like the sun of the earth, you know?
Could be. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean,
do you think it's something physical?
What do you mean, physical?
Like something earthly?
I guess I do. I mean, I haven't really thought about it much, but I think it's hard to judge not having heard it in person, right? It's like one thing to hear this on a recording, and it does sound compelling and like super creepy, but I think it would be a whole nother thing to actually witness it and have it get under your skin and have it like... So it's sort of easy to sort of take, you know, secondhand.
It's like trying to capture the eclipse of the full moon on your iPhone, like, where you're exactly, oh my God, this thing is happening.
Right.
And then it's when so you try to use your technology, it's like it just doesn't do it justice.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm imagining.
Exactly. So like, I feel like there's a tone to this whole thing that's like missing because we're listening to recordings and we're sort of hearing about it. But, you know, there is something sort of spooky about the whole thing. right? And that it like, it is heard around the world, and it's like kind of different sounds. And then also, what you were
but all feeling like they come from the sky.
Too, yeah, yeah, just like coming from the atmosphere. Sky is super creepy. Do I think it's aliens? I don't know. I'd want to know why. No, I don't. I think it's okay. Why would they? You know. All right. I don't know. I just like it. It just seems like you know, the earth like crying or something.
Like, it's like, oh, wow. Badly that's retreating. Sad.
You know, I don't know. Oh, just like, man. You know, there's like glaciers melting and fucking, I don't know, like, or it's like something vibrational about the earth that we just don't really understand yet. But like, it doesn't sound like a good sound. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, even like volcanoes like kind of sound cool, and like rushing water and, you know, you know, the big sounds of nature. Like, it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like something's wrong. Do you know what
something
I mean?
Destructive, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. And yeah, they say that there's like tectonic plates and all this stuff. And sure, I don't know. What do I know? But that seems like really intense.
Right. And as humans, we're attuned to, I mean, all earthly life, you know, we're attuned to good sounds and bad sounds.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
like what's friendly, what's potentially not. And so there's something that affects people, and we all have the like the hair stand up in the back of our neck, or we all feel alarmed. You know, to your point, there's something that feels maybe nefarious or dangerous or sinister or whatever word you want to slap on it. Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, this is not something where I'm like, oh man, wow, I feel so... You know, it's a double rainbow moment. You know, it's something else.
But even like destructive sounds from nature can even sound beautiful. Thunder, you know, things like that, like lightning. Mm-hmm. It's scary, not tornadoes, but there's though. Something. Yeah. I guess, right, tornadoes don't sound very pretty, do they?
No, they don't.
No. But yeah, in that case, there's something terribly wrong, right? A tornado is something terribly wrong is happening. I mean, not from a natural
and possibly spiritually wrong.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we don't know how the earth feels about things, right? So anyway.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So I got one more. Okay. And this is like something different. And this is like, okay, so it's a little spooky.
Okay.
And a little more paranormally.
Okay.
This next phenomenon, it really does give me the heebie-jeebies, I'm not going to lie. And in one of our earlier episodes, I think one of our earliest ones actually, we covered the concept of doppelgangers, right, where people see a double of either themselves or someone else they know, but it's not actually them. And we had another episode, you know, that we called our Forest Mimics episode, where we covered accounts of people hearing disembodied or mysterious voices calling to them from the woods, sometimes mimicking loved ones. Well, I've been seeing stories for a while that take this to a whole other creepy new level. And it's people that hear their own voices calling to them, either from another room in their homes or the woods. But it just gives me the shivers. And so, I don't know, calling it kind of voice auto doppelgangers. If anybody has any suggestions of what to call this, I don't really know. But it's basically like, you know, a mimic, but it's mimicking you and your voice. And so I'll just get into a few accounts and make of it what you will. And this first one is from TikTok. It went viral on TikTok a couple years ago when a user named Andy Winehouse posted a video saying, you know, the caption was like, "Laying in bed when I heard my own voice calling from the dining room. What is this?" So Seth, if you want to like play that last link that I sent you.
Okay. All right, here we go. It's playing.
Okay,
hold on. Sorry, I think it was muted. Here we go.
Come here. Come here. What the heck? Come here. Come here.
Here, I'll play it.
Yeah. So basically what you hear is like, you know, there's a voice calling, come here, come here. And it's like, it looks like it's like from somewhere else in the house, you know, another room, like a bedroom or something like that. And the person holding the phone is like, what the fuck? And he's freaked out. And it sounds like his own voice. And this video, it has like 24.5 million views by now. And the obvious explanation is that it's fake and he did it to get followers and likes. And he actually like refuted this in a later video, which again, doesn't necessarily mean anything. But he's only posted 8 videos. So if he did it for the TikTok fame, he's really underutilizing it. And when you look at his bio, it's like country boy, trucks, John Deere, Christian. It doesn't really map back to like your typical influencer kind of person. And his other videos, when you watch them, the ones leading up to this one, there are only 8. And they're pretty cryptic and creepy, too. Like, in the first one, he starts out, he's, like, experimenting with TikTok's, like, voice-altering technology. The second one, he's, like, sort of trying to chop away at a log outside with a spatula. And then you hear kind of, like, this weird screaming sound in the background. It's just very odd. But it's not necessarily creepy or nefarious. But in this video, he is apparently experiencing some kind of unexplained phenomena. And then he posted another one that's a part two where he's hearing loud scraping sounds and footsteps that have no explanation. Not a voice this time, but other kind of audio phenomena. And then in the next video, he explains that this is his family home that he grew up in, and he's never had these kinds of experiences there before. And he said that he's been accused of doing it for likes and says, you know, he just doubles down. This is not true. And he just wants someone to know what this is, you know. So he asks for help and he's like imploring for help. His voice sounds really desperate and scared. So if he's acting, he's doing a pretty good job of it. And, you know, he says that his wife is at work and he doesn't know what he's going to tell her when she comes home. So the last two videos are really disturbing as well. One has no sound. It's mostly like nighttime footage that's out of focus, almost Blair Witchy or something. Like he's running or driving, but you can't even really see anything. It's not like he's running through the woods. And the other one is him exploring what looks like a darkened basement area. And his caption talks about how he was allowed to sleep in a warehouse for a few days, but, quote, they know he's down there. So this was 3 years ago, like 2021, and no one has heard from him since. He hasn't uploaded another video. There's been nothing. So the question is this a hoax? Did he just get bored? He's got a lot of followers from this. Is this, you know, sadly somebody descending into a mental illness, but that doesn't explain the voice? Is it somebody fucking with him? Or is it something paranormal, like something sinister? And there's a lot of online speculation about what could have happened to him. But to this day, like, nobody knows, you know, like, at least from what I could find, like, he just kind of went dark and went quiet after the last video.
Creepy. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing sounds creepy.
Freaking creepy.
Yes.
And there have been other ones. I found one on Reddit that somebody had posted, not actually just like a few months back, of they were hearing their voice being called and they went down into this area in the cellar and they ended up capturing a face. Because I didn't quite know what to make of this, I didn't, you know, include it in our, you know, in this episode, but I did reach out to them. So if there's any further communication and I feel like it's worth mentioning, then we'll do that. But I have a couple other stories that kind of go into this territory a little bit. So this other one comes from a user. They posted the story. They said, so I've told this story on here before, but when I was a teenager, I went on a hike in South Central PA by myself in the Appalachian Mountains. It was a day I was playing hooky, so there was nobody else there at the small trail, at least that I could see. You had to drive there. There was no foot traffic. I was young and had been talking, singing, horsing around the whole time, totally unconcerned, yelling things off the top of the mountain, etc. On my way down from the mountaintop, I heard my dad's voice call my name and ask for help, and I thought I was having a stroke, and I stopped and almost started to follow, thinking, what the fuck is my dad doing here? Did he follow me or something? And then I came to my senses and I told myself, my dad is sitting in his office like an hour or more away. I heard it two more times in the space of a minute or two, call me by name and tell me to come here and help me with something. I have never ran so fucking fast. So this is like kind of along the lines of the Forest Mimics, but it just, that whole come here kind of conjuring is just an example of that kind of thing happening. But another story, the person says, I heard my own voice calling my name from another room. I live alone. Okay, so firstly, I'd like to note that I do not believe in ghosts, demons, or any goofy stuff like that. I'm a pretty scientific approach kind of person and believe everything has an explanation, even if we've yet to discover exactly what that is. For example, alternate realities, other dimensions, parallel universes. That being said, here's what happened to me. I was sitting home alone watching TV. I don't drink or use any medication or recreational drugs besides a little occasional cannabis, which I had not used this night. When I thought I heard a voice coming from my kitchen, at first it didn't register with my brain that someone was speaking to me. Initially, I assumed a device was playing, a video or something. I have a small TV in my kitchen with Google Chromecast plugged into it, and also a tablet that was charging. But then I hear it again. Now it's obvious my dogs hear it too. They both look into the direction of my kitchen, ears perked up and eyes scanning the dark doorway. We all just sat and stared for a good 20 seconds occasionally, looking at each other. Confusion is coursing through every part of my body, mind, and soul, and I hear it again. Hey, hey, come here. And then saying my first name. Come here for a second. Now, I'm in full what the fuck mode. I recognize it as my own voice, and my brain can't decide if it's really happening. It doesn't sound like a voice coming through a device's speaker, and I don't remember ever saying this in the past. Why would I be calling myself? I don't even have any friends with my same name. I'm still pretty frozen in fear, trying to make sense of what's taking place. My property is surrounded by motion-detecting cameras. There's no way someone got into my house without me knowing. Then, once again from the kitchen, I hear, come in here, hey, calling my first name, come here, real quick. One of my dogs responded to the come here and went into the kitchen, which prompted me to break free from the fear paralysis and grab my pistol. I have my .45 in my hand, and I'm watching my dog walk around the kitchen like he's looking for something. My full kitchen isn't visible from my position, but I hear his collar and nails clicking. Then he calmly walks back into the living room with me and my other dog, and we hear it again. Hey, come here for a second. Come in here. Now both dogs go run into the kitchen, and I decide, fuck it. I'm going too. The dogs usually follow me everywhere, so once they see me get up, they come running back to get behind me as I lead the train of curiosity into the darkness of my kitchen. As I approached the doorway to the kitchen, I reached around the wall to hit the light switch. Just before my hand made contact with the switch, I heard a weird whoosh kind of noise. The closest thing I can compare it to is the sound of a car driving past in the rain. Not the engine's noise, but more of that whoosh sound as the tires go through the rain. I got the light on and enter the kitchen, only to find it's vacant. Just me and the dogs. That was the end of it. Nothing of the sort has ever happened to me before or since, and it still perplexes me every time I think about it, and I'll probably never know what the hell that was. And then I got one more.
Okay.
To close it out.
Okay, cool.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so this was titled My Experience in the Woods, and I've actually heard this in a couple other paranormal podcasts that are more like narrations. But I was able to find it, and it was posted by an anonymous user titled My Experience in the Woods. So they didn't only hear something, though, at the end. They actually were able to glimpse where the voice was coming from. I'm fairly new to Reddit, so only discovered this sub recently, using a throwaway account here because I didn't feel comfortable enough sharing this on my main account. I think it's the perfect place to share the story of an experience I had about 9 or 10 years ago. The reason I'm sharing this is A, because that's the point of this sub and I've enjoyed reading others' experiences, but B, to see if anyone else has had a similar experience or an idea of what this could have been, because I never have. I've told this story to lots of people over the years, friends, family, acquaintances, whatever supernatural scary stuff has come up in conversation, but I've always left out the finer details on purpose because honestly, I think I have some latent trauma from it. I don't like going into detail about it or reliving this experience. Instead, I've only ever recounted this as a 60-second scary story to elicit a reaction, probably as a coping mechanism. My girlfriend is the only person I have ever told the full story. So then they say they're not trying to convince anyone of anything here. You can believe what you want. They're not going to debate or argue anything over it, but it's something that they know to be true. This experience happened when I was wild camping on my own in a forest in Wales. I live in England near the Welsh border. This is something I've done dozens of times and continue to do to this day. I think it was April or May of 2013 or 2014. Weather was unseasonably good, and this was the second of 3 nights that I'd planned for my trip, although it ended up being my last. First night and second day had been great. Got a lovely long hike in, followed by a pub lunch. I'd driven back to the area I was staying, and I was now back at my tent. I settled down for the night, read a book, and had some beers, and went to sleep. It was probably between 11 p.m. and midnight. I was just in that state where you're semi-conscious, about to drift off, but haven't quite just yet. I slowly became aware of a melodic noise somewhere outside the tent. It didn't sound that close, but maybe within like 50 feet. It sounded like a person perfectly humming a tune. After listening for a couple of minutes, it was definitely somebody humming a tune. When I say perfectly, I mean just that. It sounded like a professional singer or something because it was perfectly in tune. No voice breaks or falters at all. I can't remember whether it sounded like a man or a woman. At this point, I'm shitting myself because it's just incredibly creepy, like something from a horror film. I hadn't left my tent at this point and the humming hadn't gotten any louder. I just stayed a distant background noise. I didn't know what to do, but I knew I couldn't just stay there forever. So I mustered the courage to open my tent as slowly and quietly as I could to see if I could see anything or where the noise was coming from. Within 5 seconds of me poking my head out of the tent, the humming stopped. It didn't fade away or anything. It just stopped dead as if someone had pressed pause in a recording. I'm still very on edge at this point, but at this time, I assume that's just what it was, someone playing a prank on solo campers with an audio recording. I literally couldn't think of any other explanation. So based on that assumption, I shouted something like, "You're not funny, fuck off." That made me feel a little bit better because it felt like I'd addressed the issue. I don't know, but for whatever reason, it helped my nerves a little bit at the time. I let that hang in the air for like 10 more seconds while my head is still poking out of the tent and it stays quiet. I'm kind of satisfied by this point, so I begin moving back in. As I'm reaching for the tent zipper, though, the humming starts again. Same tune, but much louder, much closer, and from the completely opposite direction. My heart completely sinks because there is no way someone could have moved from the first source of the noise to the second without me seeing or hearing something. Literally impossible. It was perfectly quiet in the woods, not even any breeze against the leaves, and yeah, it was dark, but I could still see short distances thanks to the moonlight. In the back of my mind, though, my subconscious is clearly working overtime, trying to rationalize this, and I guess I must have assumed that there were multiple pranksters out there with multiple audio recordings. I can't exactly remember what my thought process was at this point, because it's truthfully all a blur. But for one reason or another, I stormed angrily out of the tent towards the now quiet, loud sound, quite loud sound. It sounded as if the person humming was within like 10 feet of the tent. I got up out of the tent. I turned towards the noise, ready to scream at the perpetrator or even attack if necessary. And that's when I see this humanoid figure silhouetted against the tree line, maybe 15 feet away from me. My best description of it is this. It was a large, thin figure that was shaped like a human, but way too tall and proportioned all wrong. It was huge. I would guess over 7 feet. Its limbs were unnaturally long, like it had been stretched out in all directions. Its head appeared very small and rounded. I think the figure was gray in color, but I can't be 100% sure because of the poor visibility. I couldn't make out much of its face at all. It just seemed to be shrouded in shadow. I definitely didn't notice any features like eyes, mouth, or nose. It was standing quite still, facing directly towards me. I say quite because there was still some movement, in the same way that a person or animal would sway back and forth or make some minor body movements if they were standing up. This was a real living thing. I know that for a fact. Not an illusion, not a proper prank. This thing was standing right in front of me and was aware of my presence. I'm literally paralyzed by fear at this point. I have never felt anything like it before or since. Just a primal terror, which has left me cold, shaking, just standing there, quite literally unable to move. I distinctly remember thinking that I need to get away, but I could not physically move my body. It was the most terrified I have ever been. As I first laid eyes on the creature, the humming stopped, and immediately it started humming again, but not a song. It started softly singing my name in what sounded like my voice. That sounds fucking ridiculous, I know, but I swear that's how I remember it. Even though it was singing my voice, though, it didn't sound right. The syllables were just off, as though a non-human had heard speech once and was trying to mimic it for the first time, poorly. I haven't described that well, but I don't think I know the words to do so. This can't have gone on for more than about 10 seconds, but it felt like forever. Me standing there, this creature standing, motionless, and singing my name. At some point, though, every cell in my body just switched, and I managed to turn and run as fast as I ever have in the opposite direction. For maybe 2 minutes, I was literally sprinting through the woods in just my socks and PJs, with absolutely no other thought in my mind than putting distance between myself and that thing. I had no idea which direction I was going or how I'd make it back to my tent. When I eventually stopped, I just leaned against this tree, panting for ages. The forest was still completely silent. I must have stayed by that tree for about 2 hours, waiting for my heart rate to settle, trying to calm down and decide what to do. I didn't want to go back to my tent. I was quite happy to leave all my stuff there, but I needed my phone and my car keys to get home. I was several miles away from anywhere. I eventually made my way back slowly. It wasn't too hard to navigate back to my tent in those woods because the tree distribution wasn't very dense. I also hadn't gone as far as I first feared, lol. Once back at my tent, I grabbed just my phone and keys and went back to my car as fast as I was comfortable. Spent the rest of the night sitting in the back seat on my phone, shaking. Didn't even try to get any sleep. Once the sun was up, I managed to go back and pack my stuff up and left as quickly as I could. After that, I took a 2+ year break from solo camping, something I normally do every 3 to 4 months. So that's my experience. Make of it what you will. That has stayed with me ever since, and I know it always will. I don't know what was in the woods with me that night, but it has scarred me, and transformed the way I think about supernatural experiences. If anyone hasn't encountered anything similar to what I described, I'd be interested to hear. So that is that story.
Wow. Okay. Intense. Cool. Well, I mean, yeah, these are all like kind of like spooky in their own way.
Right.
Especially kind of the first one. So, well, what do you think?
I mean, I think people are reporting this in different ways, whether that's hearing something in their own voices or a loved one's voice, and these stories kind of cross cultures and different areas. I mean, it's countries. This was in Wales. We hear these stories from the U.S. and other places. I mean, I think there's something supernatural out there that has the potential to mimic people's voices. I mean, one of the things when I was doing research for this, I know I only like really included one of the, somebody hearing a loved one's voice. There were a lot of people who've experienced something like that in the comments section. So, you know, it begs the question, are these people all just making it up for attention? But you're not really going to get attention. When you see it repeated over and over and over again, I'm putting some stock in these stories. And I think whatever it is, this thing, this last one is just, the first one is very creepy, mm-hmm. and feels a little sinister. This last one, I'm not even sure. It sounds like some kind of alien thing or something like a, you know, almost like an elfin creature or like a, you know, when we've done episodes in the past on, you know, forest, you know, gnomes, even though this was like a gigantic, tall kind of being, like a forest sprite or something. I don't know, you know, but it, even though the person was very scared, it doesn't sound nefarious necessarily, you know. So maybe there are different kinds of entities that have the ability to do this. I know, you know, skinwalkers, they say, can be mimics. And that's right. Something that comes up again and again. And that's a Navajo culture. But definitely, even beyond that, people around the world are experiencing these things. You know, this idea of mimicry, I think a lot of the times it is something that you don't want to mess with, that's not good. But, you know, who knows? I mean, this last one almost sounds like it was an attempt to communicate, perhaps. But I don't know. What do you think, Seth?
Well, I mean, I feel like there's like a bunch of things going on here. But I mean, like, you know, we've definitely run across the whole like hearing voices, you know, pleading with you to come somewhere, and something just like something so super creepy about that whole thing, right?
Right. Here, I think if it's asking you to go somewhere with it, you do not follow.
Yeah.
That's the advice that people give, like, over and over again. Or yeah, do not go with it. Don't even engage with it. But this last one, it wasn't even asking it to do anything. It was just kind of like, Seth.
Yeah. See, no, don't do that, please.
Okay.
It's too late here. Yeah, but like, I think, I don't know. I think that there's something that happens where, for whatever reasons, people hear voices reaching out to them, right? And so the idea that like somehow that could sound like them if something is trying to mimic or coerce you or get your attention, you know, the fact that it would use your voice doesn't sound that like as far-fetched as anything else about that scenario. But I mean, the first guy, like the recording, I mean, it's just the whole story with him was creepy, and I don't really know what to make of all that, right? Like, it's it's hard with a lot of these. It's sort of hard to, you know, separate the medium, if you will, you know,
like, right?
It just occurred to me while you're reading the story. It's like, yeah, I mean, there's definitely people are trying to write these, and so that makes it sound like creepypasta, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this has the feeling of creepypasta to it, But if someone has one of these experiences, like, how would you possibly write about it and not sound like a creepypasta, right? So, you know, who am I to say? I mean, I don't know. Like, do I think this is somehow possible? Yes. Do I think that people maybe write about this type of thing on the internet? Yeah, sure. But that doesn't mean it doesn't. Does that mean it's not a real thing that happens sometimes to some people? Like, definitely not. So, I don't know. It's all super creepy.
I mean, there's imitators and copycats, like, to your point, who are going to want to get attention. Like, I came across some other ones that I was like, nah, I'm not going to include those. But I do think that the phenomenon of hearing voices, like, mimic the idea of mimicry and people hearing this, I mean, this is something that feels to me like there are so many reports of it that there's something going on with that.
Yeah, exactly.
And not everything is a hoax, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, totally, totally. And I don't even wouldn't say, like, well, I mean, only the first one would really be a hoax, because that's, you know, someone actually, like, trying to manufacture a recording or an event, right? But, you know, that's the difference between that and, like, the just sort of creepypasta of, like, I'm going to write about this subject, right? I don't know if I would, like, go far to say that, you know, someone's trying to create a hoax. It's just, it's a different impulse, I think. But, you know, I think that there's, you know, definitely people out there, like, hearing things like this. Why? Like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like in the past when we've done stories on this or talked about it, it seems more like ghost related somehow, you know, just like something trying to get people's attention.
Yeah. Or like not good spirits.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, like,
there's that. The last one was kind of an anomaly in the group, because I feel like the first one's kind of qualified for that. Like, whether it was mimicking someone else's, you know, voice or the person's own, it felt kind of terrifying and unnerving. I mean, even though the last one, yeah, you wouldn't want that to happen when you're camping.
Yeah.
There's something about the last one that almost feels like it was an attempt to communicate to me, maybe, if it's real.
Yeah. Yeah, and who knows? Like, it's not always like, I mean, you know, something from beyond just even just trying to make contact, you know, that's just going to sound creepy in of itself, even if there's no sort of ill intent there. Just trying to sound like something that's not human, trying to sound human is just already, like, pretty scary. So.
But yeah, I don't want that to happen. I don't want to experience that.
Yeah, seriously. Well, cool. I mean, this was like, I don't know. I feel like we did, like, definitely, like, a spectrum, which I'm happy about.
Yeah, me too.
But this was a good subject. I feel like, I feel like there's even more to do here at some point. But
absolutely. There were, like, underwater anomalies.
Yeah, right.
And things like that. And I mean,
yeah.
But yeah, there's all sorts of unexplained sounds out there that we could definitely touch on. And if any of our listeners have had any experiences, we would love to hear about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. Shadowlandpodcast@gmail.com. And also, if you're enjoying the show, just want to ask you again, please leave us a rating and review. Leave us a nice review. We're doing this for the love of it, and we love you guys, and we appreciate, and we read emails that you send to us, and we really, really, it really makes a difference.
It does,
you know? And it helps us kind of figure out, you know, what you guys want to hear. We've received emails and submissions, you know, people either, you know, submit their own stories, or they have ideas of what they'd like to hear on the show. And we definitely work that into our calendar for what we're going to be talking about. And so we definitely love to hear from you.
Indeed. All right. Well, I feel like we did it.
We did it.
All right, so until next time.
Mysterious sound anomaly.
Yes.
Until next time. All right.
All right. Bye.
I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Shadowland Podcast is produced by Seth Jablon and Christina Callery. Edited by Tim Kelly. Theme music by Tim Lincoln.
Thanks, Tim.